People in the business of making families, okay, I get it, marriage is not required in 21st century America. Couples, whatever their configuration, are inclined to use the latest technology to try and customize their family options, maybe see past the genetic windshield of what's out there procreation-wise. It's a big business. In fact, for $99 and a cheek swab, the genetic analysis company 23andMe will analyze your DNA, examine your personal genetic information for potential disease markers and your genealogical roots, all to inform a conversation with a prospective mate about the question of kids. 400,000 customers as of this September, according to Business Week. The company was founded in 2006. In fact, there's a bit of a family story here. Anne Wojcicki, wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, started the company. She's still with the firm, although she's currently separated from Brin. That's a detail. But yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration ordered the company to halt its sales, writing that the company's saliva collection kit and personal genome service were being sold without, quote, marketing clearance or approval. Here's a statement from the company. We have received the warning letter from the Food and Drug Administration. We recognize that we have not met the FDA's expectations regarding timeline and communication regarding our submission. Our relationship with the FDA is extremely important to us, and we are committed to fully engaging with them to address their concerns. Joining us is Nita Farahani, professor of law, genomics, and policy at Duke University. Nita, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So how big of a business is this, and how inclined are couples or whoever to actually peer under the hood and see this information?
So it's a growing business. The hope was that it would be a much more rapidly expanding business than it is. This past summer, they started a large marketing campaign that actually has expanded the business and hopes to get many more customers than there currently are. But it's relatively small in the marketplace.
Does the FDA seem to be objecting to the whole idea of this business and the quality of the outcomes and the information? Or is this a matter of administrative not doing the paperwork thing? I can't quite tell.
Well, this their cease and desist order follows on a lot of different actions that the FDA has taken, not just against 23andMe, but other direct-to-consumer genetic testing companies. So it's unclear from the letter if what they're really objecting to is the quality and the paperwork that needed to be filed, and that had 23andMe in fact filed all of that paperwork, maybe they would stand out of their way, or if it actually is a new policy on direct-to-consumer genetic testing where you couldn't actually have it at all.
What is the philosophical issue here?
Some people are what we call health exceptionalists. They believe that if there's any sort of health information or health data, that people just can't handle receiving that information directly, that they can't understand what it means, that they aren't qualified to receive the kind of probabilistic genetic information that a company like 23andMe is providing.
Well, here's someone who we certainly think of as competent. One of our public radio colleagues, the co-host of On the Media, tried this out, actually tried it out with the company 23andMe. And here is Brooke Gladstone announcing her results.
I am 97% Ashkenazi. When I looked for your history across the globe, it seemed like I spontaneously sprang up in the middle of the Ukraine somewhere. It's a little disappointing. Even more disappointing was being only 2.7% Neanderthal.
Now, based on that conversation, and it's very entertaining, they definitely were interested in what this is all about. Is she just getting information there for a couple of conversations, you know, over a few beers, or is that useful scientific information if you're thinking about, building a family?
There are certain types of traits and recessive genes that run with particular ancestral backgrounds. And so knowing that you are 97% Ashkenazi Jew might lead you, for example, to test for something like Tay-Sachs if you marry somebody else who has a similar ancestral background. But, you know, the 23andMe data gives you a lot of different information. Some of it is entertaining traits. Some of it is ancestral information. And that ancestral information has far more than just health consequences. A lot of people who assumed that they were of a particular ethnic or ancestral background have learned that, in fact, they have a very different composition and a very different set of historical traits and historical lineage than they originally thought. And that's really changing some people's perception of themselves. So I know of an anecdote of one person who was tested, who was applying to college and had identified herself as being part Native American and part African American. And her ancestral information that she got from 23andMe and other companies didn't actually line up with that at all. It didn't show any Native American ancestral lineage. And that was challenging to her conception of self and what she felt like she could put on her college applications and how she really self-identified with the world.
We've been holding this information back, but you are actually a user of...
I am, yes.
Explain how that worked.
As is my husband.
And has it changed your perception of each other? And have you altered your decisions or made a decision based on the information?
I don't think it's really changed our perception much of each other, except that there are some predispositions that we're both aware of and think about. Like, you know, for example, if you find out that you have a significant predisposition to deep vein thrombosis, you might want to wear something like support socks when you take long flights across the country.
Did you pay to get that just extraordinarily important piece of information?
It was only $99. In fact, I got it for free. My husband got it for $99 because I got it on DNA Day. So,
we actually
paid very little for that information. And a lot of testing of different traits that could affect reproduction, like, for example, predispositions to neural tube defects. When my husband and I have children, I'll make sure to take plenty of folic acid to safeguard against those types of risks.
And so what do you think about what the FDA did here, just based on your position as a consumer of this information?
So I think what 23andMe did is a really terrific step toward the democratization of science and making genetic information available to people, which improves both their access to information about themselves as well as education about what genomics means and what predisposition information means. It sounds like 23andMe has been bad about responding to the FDA and that they should be better about responding to the FDA, unless their position is the FDA doesn't have jurisdiction over these tests and that it is overreaching its jurisdiction to actually try to regulate what is essentially just a test tube where you spit into and send back and get some information about yourself. From my perspective, this isn't that different than something like Fitbit trackers and other types of health trackers that people get real useful data about and take into their doctor's offices and say, hey, look, here's my sleep pattern. Maybe I have some sort of sleep disorder, and it helps in the diagnosis of different conditions. But it's not intended for or designed to be a diagnostic test. And genetic predisposition information doesn't diagnose you with a condition. All it does is give you some probabilistic information that might guide you down different paths in life.
Nita Farahany, professor of law, genomics, and policy at Duke University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.